This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So America, please open your truth book, your King James Bible. Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 25, where we left off last time, at least before Hurricane Matthew interrupted us. John chapter 7, verse 25. I love the Gospels. They give us each one a different view of Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew shows us that Jesus is King. He is King of Kings and sits on his throne. He is sovereign. The Gospel of Mark tells us that Jesus is our servant. He came down here not to be king at first, but to serve us, to wash our dirty feet, to wash away our filthy rags with his pure, clean blood. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus is the ideal man, tempted like as we are after he fasted 40 days and yet was without sin. But John tells us that Jesus, Yeshua, is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, when we left off last time, the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, had gone up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. God puts great emphasis on his feast. The Feast of Tabernacle in the Hebrew calendar is in the month of Tisri, and that would be equal to our October. And the Feast of Tabernacle means that God comes and tabernacles with us. Little did these people know that God was with them. But it's also a prophecy for you, dear ones, that at the seventh trump, we're in the fifth trump now, then the sixth trump, Antichrist, at the seventh trump, Jesus will return and will tabernacle with us forever. Now, as he went up to the Feast of Tabernacles, he left the celebration and went into the temple to teach. Jesus was taking up rent-free space in everybody's mind at this time. Other gospel says he was very famous. He had healed the sick and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers paralyzed people could walk and blind people could see and deaf could hear. And he'd fed thousands. So everybody was thinking of Jesus. The phony church leaders, the Pharisees, who pretend to be our beloved brother Judah, but they're not. You know who they are. They're the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S. They say they're our beloved brother Judah, but they're the synagogue of Satan. They wanted to kill him. And the people who were poor wanted him to fill up their grocery bag because they heard that he could take five loaves and feed 5,000 people. The sick people were thinking about him because they wanted to be well. So Jesus was taking up rent-free space in everybody's mind. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, there's going to be another time that Jesus will take up rent-free space in everybody's mind, in heaven and in earth. That will be when he comes at the seventh trump, at the second coming. Every eye shall see him, and all nations of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So now we pick it up where we left off, verse 25.
25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly.
Now there was Jesus. He'd gone up in the temple. The church leaders, the phony ones, wanted to kill him. If you study Jesus, it looks like, just watching him, that he makes an effort to annoy the phony priests, the Pharisees, just enough so they will eventually kill him. See, because he came to die. And so he had all the courage in the world. You know why they wanted to kill him. It wasn't because he'd healed the paralyzed man on a Sabbath day. It wasn't because he called himself God, as we're going to learn tonight, equal with God. It was because Jesus had gone into the temple, and they were supposed to be selling pure doves and pure animals for the animal sacrifice, since Jesus hadn't paid the sacrifice yet. And the church people were making money off of that. They would buy diseased animals and mite-infested doves and sell them to the people. This made Jesus so mad. This is righteous indignation. Paul says, be angry and sin not. He went and turned the tables over. The money went clanging on the marble floors. He made a cat of nine tails and beat them all and ran them out of the temple. You know what? He was messing with their money. See, they were in it for the money. They didn't care about anything else. And you can always watch when you start messing with preachers' money. If they're a false prophet, they'll try to get you.
They say nothing unto him, neither words nor indeed, that this is the very Christ.
Very means true. Christ in the Greek is the anointed one, in the Hebrew Old Testament Messiah. They're saying, it seems to us that this is that promised Messiah. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Moses, I'm going to lift up a prophet like you. And Isaiah says, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel, God with us.
27, howbeit we know this man.
We know he came from Galilee. Can any good thing come from Nazareth? Actually, Jesus was not born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem. House, la, of him bread. But they didn't think that anything good could come from Nazareth. We know him. He can't be God.
When he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth which he is.
Now, actually, they should know if they'd known the scriptures. See, when the Antichrist comes very soon at the end of the fifth trumpet, you should know who he is because it's in the Bible and you've heard it here. But like these people, most people won't know. So see, if you know the word, Jesus says, I've told you all things. See, there's nothing new under the sun. He wrote it all down that we need to know. So they said, we don't know where Messiah is, who in the world he would be.
Then cried Jesus in the temple.
Jesus cried in the temple. Did you notice it didn't? He didn't say, good day, I have some things to say to you. How are all of you? Nice to see you. Good weather. He cried in the temple. Why does he cry? Because Jesus is on an assignment. If you can ever get it, Christian, that you will not hear about your dog or your child or your family or your car or your job. I don't mean to throw those things away. Love them, of course. That you came from God. And if you have ever awakened up to your mission, you will have passion. No person who is in God's will be passive or lukewarm because he's on an assignment. He's crying. He's going to be crucified soon. And he wants to let them know that he's going to pay their sin debt for them. There is no place for one dead branch in the tree of life. Hallelujah.
Cried Jesus in the temple. Me, I know whence I am.
Okay, he says, you think you know from whence I am. They really don't know. They think he was born of Mary, and they probably thought some kind of hanky-panky went on there, and Mary and Joseph got together before wedlock. Not true. But see, they didn't really know who he was.
I am not come of myself, but he that has sent me is true, whom ye know not.
You don't even know God. You go to church all the time. Do you know there are many people that go to church faithfully midweek and Sunday, but they do not know God. They know about God. I've had many people sit on my bench who are members of churches, other churches, and I would say, do you know the Lord? They said, no, I know about him. You can go to church. You can even come here every Sunday and Wednesday and all in between that we do. It is an intimate relationship to be saved. If you do not have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, you might not be saved. At the end of this program, I will give you that chance. It's an intimate relationship. This is a marriage, folks.
29, but I know him.
I know
for
him.
I am from him.
In other gospels, he would say there, the Father and I are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now see, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. That's going to make the church leaders, the phony ones, mad as a setting hen when you mess with her eggs, because they say, ah, now we've got him. Now we can kill him. That's blasphemy. He says he's equal with God. Well, he is. He is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. God the Father is God Senior, and Jesus is God Junior, Yahweh's Savior.
and he hath sent me.
And he sent me.
Then they sought to take him. No man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come.
See, God has books, appointment books. And there was a set time for Jesus to allow himself to be crucified. It was in God's book. Now, all of you, there's a book about you. Psalm 139 says God wrote all about you before he sent you into your mother's womb. He knew you there. You were in a spiritual body. He wrote everything, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, your physique, your talents, your purpose, your life, all of these things down. And once you awaken and get out of the realization, stop believing that this is it. Stop believing you're about your foreign no more, that you're here on assignment. Once you awaken to that and you move into your destiny, I'll tell you, they can boil you in oil, they can shoot at you. I got shot out of the parking lot the other night. They can come and drug gangs and throw you out like they've done me, and they can do this and they can do that, and they can gossip about you. But if you may have to crawl in on one little tiny knee, but your purpose and destiny will be fulfilled with God's help if you won't give up. There is an appointment. There's a place and a time for each one of you to fulfill your destiny. Right now is that appointed place. Right now, listening to this, so that you get heated up and you get excited about you're in the place. You're walking in the Word of God. But as you move along, every step will be ordered by him, and not the gates of hell shall prevent you. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah.
31, and many of the people believed on him. And they said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than this man hath done?
So they believed in him because they had seen him feed 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They believed on him because they saw him raise the man paralyzed 38 years and the man could walk. They believed on him because they saw the lepers cleansed, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead raised. And they believed on that. But see, Jesus would say in other gospels, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are you who believe because you cannot see. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want to ask everybody in the sound of my voice, out in radio land and internet and all these wonderful live people here, how many of you believe that the blood of Jesus has washed away your sins? Say amen.
Amen.
Have you ever seen the blood? No, you have not. But you believe it. Why do you believe it? Because the Bible tells you so. God's word is truth. He does not alter the thing that goes out of your mouth. Now, the Bible says that you are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses. The word cloud is a figure of speech meaning crowd. Now, most of you have never seen the heavenly host that is around you or the angelic beings. Now, Scott and I do. We're strange that way. But see, you've never seen it. But if you see a picture on a screen that Scott takes, you believe it, do you not?
Yes.
But you don't have to see the picture. Faith is not seeing the picture. Do you know there are demons under every bush and they're trying to get into your place? Do you believe that? The Bible says so. So everything in the Bible, you don't have to see it, but see, they believe because they saw. Blessed are you who believe and do not see.
32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured at such things.
Okay, the Pharisees are the phony church leaders. Jesus says scribes and Pharisees sit in the seat of Moses, the Kenites, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil. So they're hearing about all this.
And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him.
Okay, here's the church police. Go and take him. A friend of mine said, Christians are all right, but those church folks will kill you. Go and arrest him and let's kill him, okay?
33, then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while, and I am with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. Therefore ye shall seek me and not find me. And where I am, therefore you cannot come.
Okay, now what is Jesus talking to? Remember, Jesus is the great I am. I am that I am. Jesus sees everything all at one time. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be crucified in a little bit. I'm going to die for you. and you're not going to see me. I'm going to rise from the dead, and then I'm going to let you see me, and I'm going to ascend to my Father. You cannot go there. Jesus is now giving them a Bible teaching of Luke 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was saved, and Lazarus died, and Lazarus went to paradise. The rich man was lost, and he died, and he went to the wrong side of paradise. Luke 16 says paradise is a place, it means a pleasant place, but it has a wide gulf in between, and you cannot cross from one side to another. One side, Lazarus, being a symbol of the saved, was over there in Abraham's bosom, and the rich man was on the other side. There's a great gulf fixed. Now, most of you have heard of Michael Jackson, the troubled but talented pop star. Because I've taught music in so many people, I had little children who loved Michael Jackson and asked me to pray for him. They wanted him to be saved. His picture's on my prayer wall. So I have a prayer ministry every morning of about 3 hours. I pray for people all over the world. It's a secret between God and me. And I'll stand back and watch stuff happen. And see, I get no fame and glory, but I just watch God move. So Michael Jackson was on my prayer list. Of course, you know he died from an overdose of drugs. A few nights later, I had a vision from the Lord. My mother called me her dream child. I have a gift born with it, a gift of dreams and visions, like Joseph of many colors, like Daniel, like Paul, who was taken up to third heaven. God takes me places. I see things and hear things, and I just say, if you don't do that, you're not normal. So the vision was, I saw this place, and I saw the gulf. You do not want to fall in that gulf. That is one more just empty, bottomless pit. And there was the good side, and there was a stone there, like a gate with a, it probably had an inscription, I did not read the inscription, like marble. And it was like the entrance to the good side of paradise. And then there was the other side. And lo and behold, now from the gulf to the good side, where the sign was, there was only about a foot of land. In other words, if you were inside that gate, you could fall into the ravine, the gulf of Luke 16. There was Michael Jackson holding on to the monumental, the marble sign there, and his feet holding on so he wouldn't slip backwards and fall into the gulf. He turned around with a great big smile, waved at me. Now, you can do with that what you want, but I thought you'd like to. This is what Jesus is saying. If you don't accept me, you're not going to be in the eternal heaven with me.
Then said the Jews.
Eudas. The Greek word is eudas. Jew is not the correct word. I wish somebody would get it out. I think Max gets it out. Do you know? Max knows. Max is 12. He knows. Okay. It's either our beloved brother Judah or the fake ones, the Kenites. In this case, it's mixed. There are some of the brother Judah listening to him, but there, of course, are the Kenites wanting to kill him.
Among themselves. Where
is he going?
That we shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles?
Now, dispersed tribes, the book of James in the New Testament is addressed to the tribes scattered. Everybody then knew that there are 12 tribes of Israel, and that they split, and that two of them are called the house of Judah. They had been captured by Nebuchadnezzar. And they know that 10 of them had been captured by the Assyrian Sennacherib 200 years before our brother Judah was captured. Dispersed, they were scattered. Everybody knew then that the 10 tribes called the house of Israel, not the two tribes, that the 10 tribes had migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled in Europe, England, Scotland, and Ireland. Everybody knew that. Jesus knew that. At that time, Ephraim and Manasseh, Joseph's two sons of Israel, had not yet had a spat and come across the Atlantic Ocean and settled Canada, these United States of America. So at the time of Jesus, our forefathers, the real Hebrew, Ireland, Scotland, England, and England, we were in that land. Everybody knew that. So what they said, well, is Jesus going to leave Jerusalem and go and catch up with the 10 tribes? Now, in parentheses, I would like to tell you, I have many books with proof and documentation that the boy Jesus went to Glastonbury, England. There's even proof in Glastonbury, England, in a great big ship with his rich uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, called the Tin Mine, who went there to mine to get tin. He was very rich. And they sing songs in Glastonbury, England, of the young lad in the boat, and they know that he's the Messiah. Now, that's in parentheses. You can take that or leave it. That's not in the Bible, but it's in history. History proves that. So they said, is he going to go and catch up with the 10 tribes and leave us?
36, what manner of saying is this that he said? He shall seek me and not find me, and whither I am, thither ye cannot come.
They could not understand what he's saying. When you focus only on the natural, you miss the beautiful supernatural. Dear people, there's so much more than what you can touch and smell and see. There's a great kingdom of God all around you.
37, in the last days, that great day of the feast.
Now, literally, he's talking about the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. But he's talking to us now, for Paul says, 1 Corinthians 10, these things happen to them as an example for those at the end. Right now, we're at the last day. We're in the fifth trump, a time of learning. A trump is an event. It will soon stop. The sixth trump is going to sound. Antichrist coming. His time is shortened. And then the seventh trump sounds. And so, there's all kinds of things going on. Jesus is seeing the whole picture here. He's preaching the whole truth.
Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
As the scripture hath said. Now, remember the woman at the well. She was thirsty, and Jesus is that living water. Paul says we're washed with water by the word of God. And Psalm 42 says, deep calls unto deep at the noise of the waterspout. The waterspout represents the beautiful flowing fountains of Jerusalem. The fountain of life is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what empowers the word to manifest and to cause things to happen. The belly there in you, Christian, is the deep well of you, inside of you. When you are totally sanctified and filled with the fullness of God, deep inside of you, deep, 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 calls into deep, is the word of God. And then that river, the Holy Spirit, with the noise of the waterspout, comes through you and gurgles up out of your mouth, and things happen. And you hold up your hands and demons flee. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. And you sing and the anointing happens. And you play the piano and the anointing happens. And you teach and the anointing happens. And you make a difference wherever you go. Things happen because it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. He said the scripture. Any time in the Bible when it says Jesus as the scripture said, what you want to know is that he is actually quoting scripture from somewhere in the Bible. Remember, he's the word. He is now quoting Isaiah chapter 12. So I'm going to read a few verses there. Make a note there for home study. Isaiah 12, and we'll begin with verse 2. This is about, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Isaiah 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation.
Now, we learned Wednesday night, we studied the Psalms, that the word salvation has so many beautiful meanings in the manuscript. Of course it means that through Jesus Christ you have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But salvation means help, H-E-L-P, health, H-E-A-L-T-H, protection, direction, guidance, provision, healing, love, courage. So see, when you say, I'm saved, wow. So Jesus says, in the eternity, all of this I have for you. Because there's going to be no need of danger. There's going to be no need of healing. Everything will be perfect there. Hallelujah. Jesus is all that.
Verse 3, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation.
All right. The well is the Word of God deep inside of you. Your belly is the innermost, deeper part of you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the Word of God in you, then, therefore, that Holy Spirit moves through you. Now, Jesus is now telling them that after he ascends back to heaven, that he is going to send the Holy Spirit to them. And so he tells them to go into the upper room, and he says to wait for the Holy Spirit. He's explaining this now in poetic form. So after Jesus ascended, 120 people went into the upper room, and they waited for the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Psalm 42, deep calls into deep at the noise of the waterspout, like a great fountain of life. Whoosh! First time I ever spoke with that language. Whoosh! It went through my throat. Holy Spirit makes a sound, and sound produces movement with a sound. And cloven tongues of fire sat on those 120 people, cloven divided. Why fire? God is a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29. And these people spoke, and people from every nation were there. And they spake in a language that everyone there could hear. Now, what is that for you? These things happen to them for those of you who had come to the end of this age. When you, the elect, are delivered up to the soon coming Antichrist, only the elect will be, because all of the world will worship the devil, even half of the body of Christ, thinking he's Christ. When you're delivered up, Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, do not premeditate what you're supposed to say, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but it is the Spirit of my Father, even the Holy Spirit, that will speak through you. And you will speak in a language the whole world will hear. And Jesus says, and then the gospel shall be preached to the whole world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Deep well, hallelujah.
And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, and call upon his name, declare his doings among the people.
Now he moves on to after he's coming there, when Jesus' second coming, when we all do the body change, 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, we shall all change. Right here on earth, Jesus is, and the elect, the Zadok, teach him. We tell the excellence of his name. We teach his word. What is his word? His name is called the Word of God. So there will be teaching for 1,000 years in our spiritual body by the Zadok, by the elect. Jesus is telling you. Remember, his name is I Am. He was, he is, and he always will be. He sees the whole picture. I want you to start seeing the whole picture. Then you won't get so caught up in your me, myself, and I daily grind.
Make mention that his name is exalted.
His name is called the Word of God. That's what this doctor is going to be doing, going to be teaching a disciplined type of the Word for 1,000 years.
Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout.
Okay, at the seventh trump, the archangel shall shout, and the seventh trumpet shall sound, and the heavens will roll back like a scroll, and the Lord Jesus shall come with his entourage. Emmanuel, God with us, Feast of Tabernacles forever. Jesus, right here on planet Earth, not out there in the sky somewhere, right here. Jesus said, stay in the field. The field is the Word, the world.
All inhabitants of Zion, how great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. 39.
Now we go back to John 7, verse 39.
This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified.
So see, that's my verification. He was talking about Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, after Christ, our Passover was sacrificed. The Holy Spirit came. Now, Jesus says, I have a baptism with which to baptize you. I have a baptism of fire. No matter how prettily you pray, how prettily you sing, how prettily you speak, how prettily you give, except the noise of the water spout, that river empowers the Word of God in you. You are still absolutely of no good. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be baptized with fire. Let go and let him fill you up to the brim. And out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you will make a difference. And wherever you go, fire of God will emanate from you. And you will change the atmosphere. And you will make this place and every place you go a holy place for the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We'll begin right there next time. Well, with all of that, it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome my co-host for Mystery Moment, a man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good, Sherry. How are you today?
Great, thanks.
That was great. Spoken with such authority today. That was awesome. That ought to move something or somebody out there.
Something had to move.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Something's moving. Whew.
He is so powerful in me, I can hardly contain myself. I think I feel awesome. Like I'm going to float away.
I know, right? All right, our first question. The mainstream media is so mean. Is that a sign of these end times?
Absolutely. Documentation from your Bible is Revelation 13. There are two beasts there. The first beast is the political system, which is in full swing right now. And the second beast is the Antichrist. He is not here yet because he is the devil pretending to be Jesus coming as Christ, but he is still guiding the political system. Now, all of the reporters, if you notice, they all say the same thing. They lie just like everybody else. They are called the image of the beast. The first beast makes an image to the beast. And see, the image is the television set of the computer, the screen, the television screen, the screen there. And so they are programmed by the political system under the auspices of Satan, their God, who's not here yet as the Antichrist, but he's directed them by his evil spirit. And they are told what to say. So yes, they are mean and they are evil and they're doing the work of their father, the devil.
Yeah, we definitely see him feeding the image.
The image.
Yeah.
The image is the television screen.
Sure is. Mm-hmm. Our next question comes from somebody who says, can a Mamzar be saved?
Can a Mamzar be saved? The word Mamzar is the Hebrew word in Deuteronomy 23 verse 2. It is written incorrectly in English there. It uses the word bastard, but that's not correct. It says Mamzar in Hebrew. A Mamzar is one born of two different races, and God says do not mix the seed. God loves all the races. He said it's very good, but he likes to keep everything pure. Now, he does say that a Mamzar, one born of two different races, is never in God's eyes allowed to lead God's people. A Mamzar is never supposed to lead God's people. Duh. Okay, but they can be saved. Yes, God loves us, all of his children, and they can have eternal life. And I've taught many of them, and I love them. But there is a bit of that because God has a pure order in his kingdom.
Yeah, and I know it's the enemy who always wants to twist everything and throw in the racist and
yes.
All that other stuff, too.
The gender and everything,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Our next question. Who is Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18?
Mystery Babylon is a metaphor, a euphemism, a figure of speech. The woman is sitting there on a beast, and she's wearing scarlet and purple, meaning majesty, like sitting on a throne. And she says, I sit a queen, and I am no widow. I'm married. And the beast is on the sea, which is the people. The beast is the literal Antichrist, the second beast of Revelation 13. It would be the deceived church. See, all the world is going to worship the Antichrist, Revelation 13, but half the body of Christ is going to worship him because they all believe that Jesus is coming first to scoot them out of here. And we explained that last time in all the questions and answers, and that's so sad. That is the same figure of speech, second time, second witness, in Zechariah chapter 5. That woman going up in that basket, being harvested out of season, is also the deceived body of Christ. Remember, Jesus says he's the bridegroom and we are the bride. So that's very sad. That's a deceived part of the body of Christ. None of you are going to be deceived. You heard it here. Wait for the seventh trump.
Yeah, and we saw in my project also when God revealed that demon that was rising up out of the abyss decked in gold.
Yes.
Yeah, just pimping out the church. It's just, you know, selling his word.
Yes.
And just bathing in stolen worship. Yeah.
Yes, that was in your presentation when you had the picture there. Scott takes pictures and you can see these things. It's awesome. Absolutely.
Our last question. In Psalms 22, Jesus said, "I am a worm." Can you please explain that?
Yes, in Psalm 22, Jesus was on the cross, and he was looking down his body, and his body was covered with red blood. And that worm is from the crimson worm. At that time, they took the crimson worm and made red dye, you know, like you dip your clothes in dye. So Jesus looked down at his body, and he says, "I look like I have been dipped in red dye from a crimson worm." By the way, that's the same worm in Jonah that ate Jonah's gourd tree.
Yeah.
Got his gourd thumped.
And that was just an awesome tie-in with Jonah and the signs.
Same thing, absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Scott. That's a blessing. Thank you so much. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to be on the good side. Let's pray this prayer and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
Use me to enlarge your kingdom.
Use me to enlarge your kingdom.
Thank you, and I love you.
Thank you. I love you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, God bless you. If you prayed that, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes. Call me and let me know. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. From the north, the south, and the east and west, let the healing virtue of Jesus go. Stop the pain. Recreate body parts. Deaf ears hear. Fibromyalgia be gone. Lupus be gone. Crohn's disease be gone. Diabetes be gone. Glaucoma be gone. Macular disease be gone. In the name of power, take up your bed and walk. Live. Arise. Nerve damage be healed. Headaches be gone in Jesus' mind. Backs be relaxed. Muscles, vertebrae be healed. Pelvis be healed. Hips and thighs and knees stop hurting in the name of Jesus. He sent his word and healed you. Oh, Messiah, turn this bed of sickness into recovery. With Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if you were healed, you want to call and tell me that too. Well, excuse me. It's time now for the love line of the week. From my heart to your heart. Do you have a friend? And of course you say, of course I have friends. I have friends at work, I have friends at school, I have friends at church. Wait just a minute. I didn't ask if you have acquaintances. Here's the definition of a friend, Christian. A friend has committed their life to your welfare. They have committed their life to helping you become every beautiful thing that God has written about you in his book. Your friend is loyal. Your friend sacrifices for you. Your friend thinks more of you than they do themselves. And they are never without thinking of one more way to make you your life better and to help you be where you need to be with God. Now you want to ask again, do you have a friend? Now, better than having a friend is to be a friend. How about you be that kind of a friend? You want to check yourself. See, we use that word, my friend, my friend, my friend. Let the rubber meet the road and find out who's there. You'll find out. Okay, come to my school at 5 p.m. each Sunday. You're invited, and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Now, remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Now wait for my announcer, and I want you to call me and let me know you're listening. Thank you for those who are calling. Someone called and said, thank you for being on the radio, and I appreciate that. And to wait for that and hear me play the piano. And this is Sherry Medlock. And until next time, God bless you in Jesus' truth with love.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Infinite love. Through the mute we'll sing, through the dead we'll rise, through you our hearts will praise, through the darkness flees, through you my heart screams, I am free.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
Got a tumor in his head. He wakes up sweating every morning after dreaming he was dead. He used to think that life was boring, but now that's not the case. He turns to his wife in the evening. He says, honey, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose this race. Sweet River Road, and laughter for some bimbo after 22 years. Now she's got to start all over, but she's just so terrified. She thinks it would have been so much easier if you would have just died. Sweet River Road. Cries to everyone to help you get up off the floor. Right now it's morning, probably sleeping. I bet you're totally unaware of the flood of kisses you hold back by the way that you despair. It ain't me I'm talking about here, or anybody else you can touch. And that's all I'm gonna say right now. I don't wanna say too much. Except sweet Jesus rolled, oh, all over me. Sweet Jesus rolled, oh, hey, all over me. Sweet Jesus, I want you to roll.
I've been changed, I have been. it's true.